Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. But for people who are grieving the loss of a loved one, this is not always the most wonderful time. In fact, it can be one of the most difficult times. How can you get through it? Well, joining me tonight for this very important Medical Monday conversation is Dr. Frederica Davis, psychology associate and the executive director and founder of Restoration Center Incorporated. Tonight, we are going to talk about grieving, how you're dealing with it or not dealing with it. If you believe you need help, or perhaps someone you know is grieving and needs help, we're here to help you. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Fisher.
Absolutely. So let's start off with where we are right now. Christmas is about a week or so away, and then you have New Year's and lots of holiday festivities. It's a time when families get together. But from your professional experience, is this the most difficult time for those who are grieving for them to cope?
Could you repeat that last question about coping?
Yeah, is this the most difficult time for them to cope, this time of the year, as opposed to any other time of the year?
Certainly. So for persons who, grief 365 days is difficult no matter what. However, when we talk about the holidays, because this is a time when families tend to gather, the loss is usually experienced at a different level because now we're talking about traditions. So it's not just that I've lost my loved one. It's now we're going into a season of tradition and my loved one isn't there. So oftentimes the grief is compounded or complicated as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. Does it matter when you've lost that loved one, whether it's this time of year, last year, or many, many years ago? Perhaps it's, or maybe you lost that person earlier this year. Does the time really matter?
It doesn't. What I would say what matters most is, what did you do after you lost that person? What I mean by that is, what did you do with that grief? So is that grief such that if you lost someone 5 years ago and you tucked it away and you have been in denial and really haven't worked through that grief, then this holiday 5 years later could trigger you. Mm-hmm. It could trigger you because you're going to a familiar place. It could trigger you because you see someone you haven't seen. And then in the past couple of years, due to COVID, and we haven't really been able to have homegoing services, if you will, or honor our deceased loved ones, that has also exacerbated the process of grief, if you will.
You said if a person has not, or has rather, tucked it away and not addressed the loss. What do you mean by that?
So, for some persons, you could have a parent who's died and that parent may have multiple children. Some may have acknowledged that their parent has died. They may have gone to counseling. They may have gone to their church or their faith-based institution or talked with family members and friends and worked through that grief. Then there are others, it's another sibling, same parent. That person may say, okay, my mom, my parent has died, but they really haven't dealt with what does that mean day to day for them. For some persons, their loved one has died and they're carrying guilt because perhaps that loved one was sick, or they may have had choice words before they died, and they can't or have not been able to bring resolution to that. So in addition to the grief and the loss of the person, they're also carrying a burden where it might be private, but in that, it's made it difficult for them to actually grieve.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation, and we are talking about grieving during the holidays. How do you get through it? My guest is Dr. Frederica Davis, psychology associate and the executive director and founder of Restoration Center Incorporated. So how might someone know that the loss of a loved one has not been addressed? How do you know that this is a problem?
That's a great question, because for some people, they may not know, right? Some may believe that my loved one has passed, I planned the service, I attended the funeral, I've gone to the cemetery. And in their mind, they believe, I've done all the steps and I'm done. But it could be that it could be a whiff of cologne or perfume or a song that comes on. And that could trigger, be a trigger for them. In the holiday season, if their loved one enjoys Christmas and they see the lights, and then they are overcome with grief. Now, let me be clear that you could have lost someone 10 years ago, 2 months ago, 2 days ago, and seeing things or smelling things that remind you of them can bring about tears. And that's not something that we should shy away from. However, if those tears are followed by anger, and some of that could be somatic, right? So for some children who've lost a loved one, their behavior may change in that they become angry, frustrated. They don't know why. May not have the words. For adults, it may be similar, that they are irritable. They may be depressed in that they're not eating and sleeping like they normally would. And if they look at their calendar, it could be that it's either coming up on the anniversary of the loss, and or it's the holiday time that's triggering that loss.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about grieving during the holidays. How do you get through it? Let's go to Hassan calling from Hanover, Maryland. Hassan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to share that I lost my mother, my biological mother, and four stepmothers. My biological mother had 11 sisters, and there's only one left. So what I find that I've learned to do is actually celebrate the life that they've had. Instead of focusing on how they died and how they left here, I focus on how they lived their lives. My father, he passed away, and my father passed away. I found out that he may not necessarily be my father. Instead of harboring anger, I realized that is a situation between adults and not myself. So whatever happened among the adults, I have forgiven, so I can continue to live my life instead of harboring ill feelings against anyone. And it's important for everyone to understand, you celebrate the life of the person, and don't focus on how they died and how they left here with what illnesses they may have had. You focus on how they live, and let that be the source of the energy that carries you through.
Yeah. I like that, Hassan. Thank you so much. Your thoughts about what he's saying, Dr. Davis?
Oh, I totally think that that is great. And I think, Hassan, thanks for sharing your story. I'm certainly sorry to hear about the losses that you've experienced. But it also, it sounds as though you were in a great place personally, right? In a place in which you were able to find purpose and meaning, and you were able to redirect that. And we often talk about that in terms of creating new traditions or honoring the person that has transitioned. So what would this person be doing if they were still alive? How might you honor them? So it might be that if your loved one died due to cancer, you may decide that you want to participate in a walk or raise money or support someone else who's on that journey. And in that, you're finding purpose and meaning. So something that was traumatic to you, you're taking that and redirecting that energy in a positive way. So I think that is very great. I would also say, though, everybody's not there where Hassan is. And so we have to then also show empathy and be patient with persons as they're walking through their respective journey with the hope that they will get exactly where he is and how he's explaining, finding meaning and purpose.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chico calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Chico. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it's Chico DiNocco here. Some friends of mine went to be with the Lord, especially all four of my grandparents, my mom's grandparents, and my dad's grandparents. So the way I get over these people that died, Joan and Glenda Kira and a bunch of others, I take pictures. And I keep a stack of those pictures of memory. And they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So what I do, I take pictures and I cherish those pictures.
Yeah.
And it's good to like do something like that. So the memories will last forever. But no one lives forever. So it's very important that you take pictures and cherish each memory and what they did, how they spent their life on earth before they go to heaven. So it's important, not only that, accepting Christ and knowing that you lived a good life and you lived a good legacy and you want that legacy to pass on to your children and your children's children. And you want to cherish that memory by taking these pictures.
Well, thank you, Chico. I appreciate that. And, you know, Dr. Davis, it seems that a lot of people have different coping skills.
Sure.
You know, and with, you know, with that said, why is it that some people find it more difficult to cope than others?
Another great question. So one, I think it's layered. So one, let me say briefly that coping is something that we are taught. We learn coping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes the homes in which we were raised, those persons model for us how to cope. And so if you saw your grandmother, your parents, if you saw them cope healthy in healthy ways, when someone transitioned, that often as a child, that's modeled for you, and you may tend to embrace that as you move forward. Because again, in that healthy approach, you've learned how to repurpose and to not take loved ones for granted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. But conversely to that, for some, they weren't taught that, right? And so for some, what they saw is persons who did not perhaps deal with their grief and loss, and instead of working through it, they took it out on other persons. And so then those persons learned that we lose someone, now it's time we get angry. And so we might participate in unhealthy coping mechanisms, such we might drink, we might deny what has transpired. And so we might then go out and engage in behaviors that are unhealthy. And so we've learned that. And then there are those who I would say are in between the two. They've tried healthy coping mechanisms, and for some reason, perhaps it did not, quote unquote, work for them the way that they thought. And as a result of that, they turned to some unhealthy behaviors to kind of soothe themselves, not realizing in doing that, you didn't deal with the grief you lost 5 years ago, and now you've lost two more until eventually that teapot will just burst open, and then they don't know how to cope and manage.
202 219-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about grieving during the holidays, during this Medical Monday conversation. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you are struggling with grief during this holiday season, or if you know someone who you want to support who is going through a really difficult grieving process during this holiday season, give us a call. Jay from Capitol Heights, George from the DMV. We are going to be talking to you next. But before I go to a break, Dr. Davis, do you have any resources that our listeners can perhaps use to, you know, find support, find counseling, find a way to help them move through this really difficult process during this time of year?
Certainly. I'm going to share four of them real quick, and I know you'll have a site that they can go to them.
Yeah, all of them are going to be on our website on WHUR.com, as always, after 8:30. But please go right ahead.
Thank you. So the first one, of course, I'll share the Restoration Center. Our website is iwanttoberestored.com. That's www.iwanttoberestored.com. We're based in Maryland, and we service this DMV region. The second one is the WENT Center. That's W-E-N-D-T. And the WENT Center, they focus on loss and healing. They're located in Washington, D.C., and they, too, service the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Then the last two are national. There's Psychology Today. You can go to Psychology Today's website, and you can type in your zip code and grief, and it will pull up the licensed clinicians who are in your area who focus on grief. You can also search by insurance if you have health insurance.
And the other one, real quick, because I've got to go to a break, real quick.
Griefshare.org.
Griefshare.org. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about grieving during the holidays. If you're on the phone, don't hang up. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is a very important Medical Monday conversation as we try to help you get through grieving during the holidays. My guest is Dr. Frederica Davis, psychology associate and the executive director and founder of the Restoration Center Incorporated. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you were struggling with grieving during the holidays, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jay, calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? Good evening. I was calling, man. I heard y'all while I was going back out, and that was a very interesting topic.
Yep.
Right now, and I'm like, wow, y'all must have been, like, vibrating with the universe because there's a lot of that going on out here. You know, I lost my mother when I was locked up, so I didn't get the opportunity to go to a burial. And so I live with that, you know, so that's kind of hard. But I go through it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I'm basically just listening to y'all. I saw my children, so I give to them what my mother didn't give to me, my father. I didn't have no bad upbringing, so it's kind of easy to give back what you got. But only thing I regret is not being able to go to a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So how I know this is in this very moment, Jay. It's tough for you. I think, you know, like you said, you didn't have a bad upbringing, and I think that in and of itself is something to bring you a sense of joy. But, you know, Dr. Davis, what do you suggest that he do at this point to cope with, you know, that closure that he never got?
So, Jan, sorry to hear about that. Let me ask you, how long ago was the transition of, I think it's your mom?
2016.
And you mentioned a burial. So, she is, in fact, buried or interned somewhere?
Yeah, probably about on the D.C. side. I live on the Maryland side. About, 30 minutes. I go up to the burial site and a stone put on it with her picture and my father on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm wondering, have you ever considered, I know you go and visit, when you go, do you talk to your mom about not being there? And one, forgiving yourself for not being there. And having your own kind of memorial time with her, with maybe some of your family members?
I talk to her. I basically don't think about nobody else being with me. It's like my moment, to spiritually communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as easy as some people may express.
I don't believe that it is. What I would say to you, though, and this is something that perhaps you can seek some services or speak with someone offline, and that is whether or not you've forgiven yourself, right? And so there may be other things that are at play that are also contributing to, the sense of loss that you have. For perhaps some of the time that you didn't have with your mom before her transition. And if that's the case, then I would encourage you to speak with someone about moving in that space, right, where you can forgive yourself and that you can begin to look at this through a different lens. So it doesn't change the fact that you miss your mom, doesn't change the fact that you're grieving the loss, but it sounds, based on the limited amount that you shared so far, that maybe that's an area to explore that might be helpful for you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is something. I'm always looking for light, in the dark.
I like that.
That's part of my mother always, no matter what in life, she showed light even in the dark, and that's where I look at life,
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jay, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for sharing with us, and we hope that you have a peaceful holiday season. Let me go to George. George calling from the DMV. George, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening.
Hey.
My question has to do with timing. I lost my wife in May and then a brother in August, so approximately 90 days apart. When you're in the process of grieving, especially someone that you chose or someone you chose to live your life with, and you have a sibling die, someone that you are become a part of, he's a part of your family, what is it that makes you stay in one space or another when it comes to that individual? My wife is someone I chose.
Mm.
My brother is someone, you can't choose your family, so when a family member dies, it becomes personal as well as anything else. How long, or when I say how long, I mean, what does it take to get you from one to the other? And what makes you just go to the point where you cry for either one or the other, depending on, like you said, whatever triggers you in that case?
Yeah, so let me first say I'm sorry to hear about your losses. And then secondly, let me say you raise an excellent point. And what I often like to share is that each relationship is going to be very different in the grief process. And it's just as you described. So your wife, you were married to her for a long period of time, and you had a relationship with her like none other. Like you said, you chose her, but also you shared intimate details of your life with her. This is perhaps someone, I'm assuming you all shared the same bedroom together. You had your routine, your date night, your meals together. So there was a level of intimacy. Then again, I'm assuming this, a level of intimacy in that marital relationship that you did not have with a sibling, that you won't have with the parent, that you won't have with a friend that dies. And because of that, you're not just grieving the presence of the person, you're also grieving what that presence brought you. And so when you are talking about the loss of a spouse, those intimate moments that you share with your spouse, you're grieving that. With your sibling, whatever you enjoy doing with your sibling, your childhood memories, if you all went to the games together, those things, you will grieve that relationship based on its foundation and what you all made of it as you continue to grow together. So again, it is such that grief is a journey, but with each relationship and each loss, you have to grieve them separately. It's not like, okay, I'm going to go through this cycle, and when I've had multiple losses, I'm going to deal with all of them at one time. It doesn't work that way. It is such that you have to address each one and look at how different they are, which may require you to cope in a different way based on the level of relationship you share with that person.
George, thank you so much for sharing with us. And, you know, we are certainly sorry for your loss of your wife and your brother. And we hope that you have a peaceful holiday season.
Thank you.
Sure thing. Let me go to Ronald. Ronald, calling from Landover. Ronald, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Ronald, are you there? Ronald, give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Davis, I want to piggyback on something that you said before the break. You spoke about something that may trigger a sense of grief. It could be a song. It could be a fragrance. It could be holiday lights. It sounds to me that grief is normal. When does it become abnormal?
So we begin clinically to become concerned about grief. And again, I must preface this and say it's also based on, we have to take culture, ethnicity into consideration. But when persons are in a place where they are immobile, and how we tend to look at that is to look at the persons, ask them questions about their normal daily functioning. So what I mean by that is, but prior to the loss of this person, the person transitioning, were you going to work every day? Were you taking care of your hygiene? Were you washing? Were you eating? Were you going to sleep at a regular time? So we asked a series of questions to get an idea of what was like before this transition and then after. Once we assess that, if there's a change in behavior, then we want to know how long has this lasted. Again, looking culturally through the lens of the person that's sitting before us, then what is considered, quote unquote, a reasonable amount of time versus now we are concerned. And so we have a person that they're not taking care of themselves, meaning they're not getting out of the bed, they're not eating, or they're overeating, they're not sleeping, or they may be participating in behaviors that appear to be cycling behaviors like spending money or driving really fast, taking a whole lot of risk. If they're engaged in these types of behavior and it's going on 6 months, maybe longer, then we may have a level of concern there because this person may be in a place where it's what is called now prolonged grief. Additionally, what would be abnormal is if the person is still answering the call, say if it's a husband or a spouse and someone calls the house, they don't say, well, the person has transitioned, call them back later. Now, for some, that occurs right after their loved one has transitioned. But if we're 6 months, 2 years out, and you're still not at a place where you can acknowledge that this person has transitioned, then that may be a level of concern that we would want to explore.
We have been speaking a lot about about grieving someone who has passed away, but mm-hmm. not all grief involves death. Some mm-hmm. grieving involves loss of relationships, whether it be, you know, an intimate relationship, romantic relationship, or even friendships. How do those, does that grieving work differently compared to the loss of life, grieving the loss of someone who has passed away?
You know, great question. So there are some similarities in that. As you go through the process of the loss of relationship, that you may find, let's say, what are some of the reactions to the loss, similar to those that you may find in the loss of a loved one. So you may see similarities there. Reasons why persons are grieving the loss, if you will, same. It's the holiday time. It's family time. I may be separated or divorced. And as a result of that, my quote-unquote family is not together. This is the first holiday that I'm in my home by myself. So it's very similar with persons who have lost someone who has transitioned. Now, of course, persons who've lost someone who's transitioned may often say to the person who lost the relationship, well, at least your partner is still living.
Mm.
You can work that out. You can try to reconcile. I can't do that. And I would caution us not to go there with family members around the table as we gather around the holidays, that as persons are speaking to their loss, be it through the death of someone or the end of a relationship, it's lost. And whomever is experiencing it is difficult. So I would encourage us to extend grace to one another and not get into a comparison about whose loss is deeper than the other.
Mm. Good point. Good point. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Twyla calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Well, my grieving is very new for me. My mom died the day before Thanksgiving.
We are so sorry to hear that.
Mm. Yeah, and she went in on November the 10th, and things were looking better, and then it got worse. And so this is really hard for me and my sibling. And I have a sister and a brother. My brother's really taking this hard, and it's hard to even talk to him right now, and we're just experiencing all of this right now. This is so very new for us. Mm-hmm. So whatever advice you could give us right now, Christmas means nothing right now. Sure. It used to be something we shared with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
My biological father died years ago. We do have a stepfather and stepsisters, but there's just three of us and a niece. So we're all coping with this. This is, just like I said, very, very new.
Go right ahead, Dr. Davis. What would you suggest that they pull out of that toolbox to help cope with this, because it is so new and so raw?
Sure. So first, I would suggest that you give each other grace. As you mentioned before, you're three different individuals. You're going to experience this very differently. So I would encourage you, if possible, to have a meeting with your siblings to talk about how people are feeling about the upcoming holiday. And then preface that by saying whatever you're experiencing, one person may want to celebrate in some way. Another person may not. But what we want to say is, regardless of how you want to spend it, we respect each other's rights. And then see if there is something that you all would want to do together in honor of your mother. This year, you may say, if you all got together and went to someone's house and there was cooking involved, this year you may say, we're going to go out for dinner and allow somebody to serve us. if you used to have dinner together, you may change it from dinner to have brunch. But you may decide that at a minimum, we're going to come together and at least see each other if possible, or get on a Zoom so we can connect on that day. And if it's for the purposes of shedding tears and hugging and holding each other, that's okay. And so I would encourage you all to give each other grace and the space to do that. And then, like I said, consider creating a new tradition in honor of your mom's legacy if you're at a place where you're able to do that.
Twyla, thank you so much for sharing with us. And I'm glad to hear that you have your siblings. And hopefully you all can lean on each other as you move through this difficult time. So thank you so much for calling.
I appreciate you.
Sure thing.
Speaking with me.
Absolutely. Lisa, calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Lisa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi, Harold.
Hi. How are you?
Dr.
Davis. Yes.
Yes. So I just wanted to share. I, you know, went through grief by a miscarriage. It's about 12 or 13 years ago. It took me about 7 years to go through, to get to group a grief share, which I participated in, and I'm so glad that I did. So I just wanted to speak on that to encourage people out there that you'll get there. It is a process, and allow yourself to go through the process. And what grief looks like for you and the length of time of what it is for you is what it is for you. And be patient with yourself. Yes, give grace, but do seek help. Open your windows. Don't be in dark. Let the light in, right? Go take a walk. Do your self-care. It may be a hard thing to do, but you can do it, and you will get to your place of a new normal. And that's what I'm sharing with my siblings who recently lost their mother. And so by my having gotten to my place of my new normal, I'm able to, you know, help somebody else in that and be available to them to call me whenever, because they're in Connecticut and I'm here in Virginia. But just to leave myself open, just to listen. If I just need to sit there on the phone and listen to them, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. But for all of you out there who are experiencing that, my prayers to you, and you're going to be okay. Allow yourself to go through the process.
Lisa, thank you so much for sharing with us. It's very, very helpful. She mentioned something called grief share. What is grief share?
So grief share is a 13-week group. It's adult only. It is Christian-based, but it is a support group. And so individuals receive a workbook, and every week they come and talk about a different topic related to grief. There's a video that they're able to watch and then engage in discussion. And so I have been connected with Grief Share for like over 20 years and really have seen how it has helped persons to move through their season of grief. If persons don't want to join the group, they can just sign up online for Grief Share, and it will send them emails of encouragement, things of that nature, and it's a nominal cost. And when they go to griefshare.org, they can put in their zip code and find a group that's near them.
Is grieving different in children when as opposed to adults?
Certainly. So depending upon the developmental stage of a child and where they are, how they express their grief may be different. So if you're talking about younger children, they may not have the words to say, I'm sad because mom has died or dad has died. But we may use art therapy, sand tray therapy, play therapy, where we can still get those emotions and identify and help them to frame words that are age appropriate for them. Teenagers, oftentimes, grief may manifest itself in terms of anger. It may be they may experience depression. And so what you may get is a kid who is acting out and you think, oh, that's just a smart, you know, that child is cursing and being disrespectful. But in all actuality, it could be that they're depressed as a result of a divorce, their parents divorced, or maybe their parents died. So, yes, it will and can show up differently.
Mm. So, as you said, with a teenager, for example, how might you help that teenager cope?
So usually, and again, this varies, it's not a one size fits all, but I would say find what your teenager enjoys. So one thing that I've used over the years is song. If a teenager likes music, then I will often use music and songs that they're listening to and may not have heard of to then get them to hear the song, to send a message that might help them process the grief and in turn begin to journal their words. If it's a young person who likes art, they may like to draw. So it could be through acting, right? So find out what they enjoy. And then if they enjoy the movies, there are a number of movies. You may have, Mr. Fisher, heard about From Scratch from Netflix, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Woo!
Yes. That really has to be unpacked, but I thought they did a great job with that. So that might be a resource that I would offer to someone if they were ready to kind of talk about what that looks like. So, again, meeting them where they are, and then utilizing the tool, the resources that they tap into to kind of help them.
Yeah, I will say when you speak about that Netflix series, I think the acting was really, you know, was really, really well done. But I would, and you know, you're the doctor, not me, but that is not, I don't think that program is the best program for those whose grief process is really close to the surface. It's a romance movie, obviously, but and without giving it away for those who haven't seen it. But, you know, when you know, there is a loss in the film, even for people who aren't having any issues with grief, you know, you need to get out the Kleenexes. But for the people but anybody who's really struggling right now, that'll send you over the edge. That series will have you calling out from work. You know.
Yes. So I totally agree what you were saying. I would also say though, I lost my husband due to cancer, and it was 11 years ago. And so to your point, whether it's new or later. So I agree with you. Your point is well taken, and that is From Scratch is not, everybody's not ready to watch that movie.
Uh-uh.
I raised From Scratch, though, because I appreciated how they dealt with, and again, not wanting to be a spoiler, when you raise the question about children, and that's what I'll say, and grief. I thought they handled that in an excellent way. And so maybe it would be if I was working with a parent who had a child and they did not know how to talk about grief with their child, I might show that snippet from Scratch.
Yeah.
As an example of how you could help your child move through grief.
What do you think about writing to a loved one who has passed away? I remember seeing that, you know, that was suggested to a friend of mine who had lost her father.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many things that she didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about not last year, not the year before, but decades of things she did not say. Mm-hmm. Is that a good therapeutic suggestion?
It is for the person who wants to say something. It's kind of one of the interventions is an empty chair technique, where you bring in an empty chair and you have the person, similar to writing, they communicate to this person who's no longer there what exactly they want to say. And if that person, a great candidate for that, is someone who feels that they need this experience in order to let go. And so the idea for some persons with the letter writing is that when it's over, some persons will burn the letter, mm-hmm. some persons will bury the letter, but it is such that it is an opportunity for them to really let go of whatever they've been carrying. So it's good for some people. For some, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for sharing with us and sharing, your own journey. And that helps me kind of, understand. And I guess there are going to be some people who are now going to, try to look at from scratch, like I said.
But there was a disclaimer and warning out there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely. You have to be ready. It's That's one right. thing to deal with your own, but even if you're watching it on TV or watching someone else's grief in real life, it can be a steep mountain for you to climb, no question about it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, Dr. Frederica Davis, thank you so much for talking to us. And look, you have a wonderful holiday.
Same to you. Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye. Thing. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, December 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.